Put your song book to the side or down there in the rack or wherever. And we're going to get our Bibles. We just ordered brand new song books for our church, so this might be the last time we get to use those red books. We're shipping those to the Philippines. We have a church starting over in the Philippines, and they are in need of some good English song books, I suppose, because they're bilingual over there. What's the language of the Philippines? What is it? Oh, who answered that? Miss Haley did? I was wanting a student to answer it, but that's all right. Some teachers are just so quick on the draw, aren't they? Ricky Flynn, so good, yes. But she is right, isn't it? Tagalog. I didn't know that till I got here. We have a Filipino ministry here, and they have their services. They operate their services in both English and Tagalog. It took me a little while to learn how to pronounce that word. I called it Tagalog first time I was here, like a South Georgia person would, but it's Tagalog. All right, we're in Proverbs chapter 10 this time. Proverbs chapter 10. Real quick, I've been doing some of the preaching this year in chapel, not all of it, but some of the preaching this year in chapel. And we've been talking during my times with you all about just really about one big subject. What's that subject been? Somebody remind me. Say it out loud. Instruction. Very good. I feel better now that you all remember that after the Christmas break. And we've been looking at it in so many different ways now that it's almost impossible to remember every passage of Scripture that we've gone to. And today we're going to talk about instruction winning, W-I-N-N-I-N-G, instruction winning. And so if you've been taking notes and keeping these major points, that's the next one that we're going to talk about. And I actually just today, to some of our older students, I just today sent you out a new text devotion about this subject today. And so at the end of the school day, when you get your phone back, you'll be able to get that and hopefully draw from some of the things I've written down. And so we're going to read from Proverbs 10, verse 17. And because it's just one verse, I'd like for you all to read out loud with me. Can you all do that? Can you follow me as we read out loud together? Okay, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. Now, if for some strange reason you didn't bring your Bible to chapel, I want you to look on with somebody close by, okay? Share with somebody if they don't have a Bible with them. You're supposed to bring your Bible to chapel, but if you forgot it or lost it or whatever, read along with somebody. An important verse, Proverbs 10, verse 17. Read it aloud with me. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Let's read that one more time together. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Now there's our important word again in this verse. The word is instruction. You can be seated. In this verse, there are, I think, three natural things that develop from this verse. There is what I'm going to call the course, C-O-U-R-S-E, and then there's what I'm going to call the choice, and then there's what I'm going to call the castaway. Those three things. And this verse is like a lot of other verses in the book of Proverbs. It's kind of like a two-sided coin. Now, when we have a coin, we have heads and tails. And some people think heads is the good side, tails is the bad side, or vice versa. But in the book of Proverbs, we sort of have that when we have these individual subjects covered in one verse. There's a positive and a negative, or a heads and a tails. And that's what he does here in verse number 17. He begins by giving us the positive. If you look at it, he is in the way of life that keeps instruction, that keepeth instruction. And then the negative, or the other side of the coin, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. And so that practice is given to us over and over and over. In fact, even in the following verse, verse 18, heads and tails, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. So two sides to the coin there. And so here we have in verse number 17, a verse that talks to us about the subject of having a teachable spirit. instruction or instructors are useless unless there is a pupil who's willing to receive the instruction. This is why it's important when we go to church that everyone have a listening spirit in the house of God, because we want the teaching of God's word to change people's lives. But that's also true at school. Your teachers, your instructors, as the Bible calls them, or we would call them teachers, they are constantly doing everything in their power to make sure that everybody in class is listening. And there are several enemies to that. Sometimes the enemy of that is a distraction. And if you have a class with a window, your teacher may choose to keep the window blinded because she doesn't want you to look outside every time a car goes by. In fact, here in our church, I situate our blinds myself. You see how I did that? I can see out that window and some of these other windows, but I try to situate those in such a way that when a car goes through the parking lot, not everybody's distracted by that. Because what do? When a car goes by, or when a person walks by, all of a sudden it's like you've never seen a car in your life, right? Have you ever had that experience? When that car drives by, everybody goes, and they look at it like it's an emergency almost, like a shock. Man, there's a car in the parking lot of all places driving by. And it can become an unnecessary distraction, can it? We have that same problem in church. When somebody has to go to the restroom, they stand up and walk out. And 75 people in our church look at them like they've never seen a person walk in their life. They just all just gawk at them the whole way until they get to the back door. And they act like they've never seen a single person walk on 2 feet. It's like some kind of a strange circus experience for them. And that creates a distraction. So sometimes your teachers do everything that they can. Your church does everything that it can to eliminate distractions. We try to do that. Another distraction in class might be the class clown. Now, I'm not going to ask you who that person is. It's normally a boy. And I'm not going to ask you to, everybody's looking in one direction. I'm not going to point at who it is. But sometimes the class clown becomes the enemy of the classroom, not because we don't want to laugh, but sometimes laughing is at an inappropriate time. When we're trying to receive instruction, that's not the time to be laughing. That's the time to be focused and the time to be dialed into whatever we're talking about. So your teachers, your church, your Christian school teachers, your Sunday school teacher, your pastor, whoever it may be, they try to create an environment of listening. And they can do everything in their power to create an environment of listening, but only you can create an environment of teaching. Because they can instruct, but you have to decide to be teachable. You have to decide to either be a stone or a sponge. And when they're pouring that instruction out, it's either running off and being wasted, or you're absorbing it. And a teacher tends to connect. A pastor tends to connect with people who are absorbing, people who are, they know that they are listening. They're making eye contact, and there's a give and take, even though it's a one-way conversation. There's a give and take that is taking place there that seems to, at least it seems to show that teachability is taking place, that you're teachable, that you're willing to receive instruction. The Bible condemns that. It commends that. Let me say it that way. It commends that. It really compliments the person who's willing to receive instruction. Now, I'm over 40. Anybody want to guess how old I am? Somebody guess. This always gets fun. Sasha? 56. Nope. I'm not 56. This always gets so fun. Yes, young lady? How old do you think I am? 50. No, I'm not 50 yet. Still shooting too high. Alex, how old am I? 41. Thank you, brother. I love you, man. I'm actually 43. Yeah, your dad and me are the same age. I think we have the same birthday, if I'm not mistaken. August 16th. So I'm 43. Anybody want to take a guess how old Sister Jennifer is? No, we're not doing that, all right? We're not doing that here today. She would be so upset if somebody said 56 because she's not that old. So here's what I want you to know. At 43, I'm still receiving instruction. At 43. I just finished a degree, and I'm thinking about re-enrolling. You know why? Because I always want to have a teachable spirit. I always want to absorb instruction. I have just learned that it can change your life. When I was on this flight recently coming back into the country, I was on a 12-hour flight from Frankfurt, Germany to Tampa, Florida. And during that 12-hour flight, for the most of that flight, I read. I just kept reading and reading and absorbing, and it gave me some incredible new ideas even for our church. And so I want to receive instruction, and that is what Proverbs is expressing here. Verse 17, look at it. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. Let me give you my points. There are three of them. The course. You notice here he calls it the way. The way. And this course that he speaks of here reveals to us that only the teachable become teachers. Every effective teacher, every effective preacher, every effective preacher in your life, at one time, they were a student. And so every teacher in this school or in your church or wherever it may be, those people that are in charge now of a classroom at one time were in your situation. And they were typically the ones who absorbed. Because remember this, only the teachable later become teachers. And they resolved in their hearts and minds that if this is so good for me, if this is so helpful for me, maybe I could teach. Maybe I could be a blessing or an instructor to someone else. And that's the beginnings of the spirit of a teacher. It begins when they're a student. And when they are a student in high school, they have a teacher who shows special interest and interacts and connects with them and begins to change their mind about some things. For me, and when I was in grammar school, that was Mrs. Massey. Later in high school, it was Mrs. Kruger. And Ms. Kruger had a firm hand. She knew how to handle a classroom. And she knew how to get us all to sit still and be quiet and listen. And sometimes I would clown around, and she knew how to handle me. But one thing about Mrs. Kruger that I remember is not just all the disciplinary stuff, but the things that she said, it energized my mind, and she engaged with me in such an incredible way that I even to this day, I can still tell you things that Ms. Kruger taught me. That's the spirit of a teacher. And an instructor was one time instructed. And they loved it, and they cherished it, and they want more of it, and that is the beginnings and the makings of a teacher. Their path is charted when they are listeners. And so my point that I'm trying to make here is that if you ever aspire to be a teacher, you're making those choices that are going to make that possible or impossible right now. If you're a flunky in school and disinterested and unplugged and undisciplined and you're always either late or not turning in homework and all that, you're never, never, never going to be a teacher unless you get a hold of yourself now and appreciate the teaching that is going on in your life. Those who choose to live in spite of the instruction that they've received and that's available to them, they lose their way. That's what he says, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. If you reject instruction, if you deny instruction, you lose the positive momentum of life. You lose the joy of living. The things that I learned in high school from healthy teaching methods are still with me today. Because your mind is so impressionable at this age that all of a sudden you start soaking up things. And look, to tell you the truth, you don't even know when the video camera is running in your mind. There are things that the teachers didn't even intend for me to take serious that I took serious. There are things that the teachers were maybe joking about that impacted me. And so here's my point. When you're plugged into instruction, it creates within you this this positive momentum, this forward momentum that you almost always win when you become addicted to teaching and instruction. He speaks here of the way of a happy life. He's not saying that if you don't listen to your teacher, your heart's going to stop. That's not what he's saying when he uses that term, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. He's not saying you'll lose your pulse if you don't listen to your teacher. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if you listen to instruction, spiritual instruction or academic instruction, he's saying in this passage, that creates a better life. That creates a happier experience in life. So being teachable is an incredible, incredible part. That's the course, if you're taking notes. Number two, the choice. The choice. He is in the way of life. That's the course. And here's the choice that keeps instruction. The choice is, and the word keep here is, it's best understood by protects. It's better understood if you interpret that word to mean he defends instruction. He situates his life or her life around that experience. There are people in our church that are this way. They come to church and they sit on the edge of their seat. They, in many cases, when they come in, they choose a spot where they know they will be able to make eye contact with the pastor, and they know that they'll be able to receive everything that is being poured out. They want it, they absorb it, they receive it. And then there's other people that come to church, they don't know why they're there, I don't know why they're there, and in many, many cases, they leave in worse shape than they were when they came. What's the difference? One is protecting instruction, and one is just in the presence of instruction. And your teachers have experienced that with you. They know that there are students sitting in their class that are receiving it, and that they are protecting it, and they are guarding it, and they are appreciating it. And then they know that there are other people. You're just here because you're not old enough to drop out. You're just here because your mom and dad have twisted your arm and forced you into this. But that mentality, that attitude, it creates huge problems in life. Huge problems. You see, it takes consistent dedication to abiding by the instruction of God's word to walk in the way of life. You'll be alive, but you won't be living. You'll have a pulse, and you'll be inhaling and exhaling. You'll be breathing, but you just exist. When you don't have the instruction of God's word pointing the way, you're left up to your own interpretations of life, and you're left up to your own decisions. And in many, many cases, in fact, in most cases, it gets you off of the straight and narrow. And by the way, that doesn't happen suddenly. That doesn't happen suddenly. Most young people, especially the ones toward the back today, most young people are beginning now to formulate what you really believe about God and the Bible and the church. You're already beginning to put down in your mind. Your mind is already beginning to harden itself and to galvanize towards what you really believe about God, the Bible, the church, parents, authority, responsibility. You're beginning to come up with those thoughts already. And that's why we're in a drop-dead rush to have as much influence on you as we possibly can. Because it won't be long. You're on your own. And at that point, when your instructor when you graduate, your instructor's hands are off. And at that point, you have to make your own choices. In many cases, getting away from God involves making small steps. In some cases, it begins by missing Wednesday night church. I always get alarmed when that happens. I always get alarmed. Missing Wednesday night church. Or in some cases, it even manifests itself when, you know, in our church, our young people all sit kind of in this area over here. And when I see a young person who has normally sat here and normally been plugged in and normally is a listener, but all of a sudden now I see that young person sitting in the very back. And then all of a sudden, I noticed that young person missing some Wednesday nights and then missing some Sunday nights. And then they're only there every other Sunday morning, and there's no Sunday school, and there's no, and all of a sudden the input is completely cut off. Watch, that's the small steps that you begin to take to get off of the path of instruction. And that is when life becomes miserable for you in the future. And we could go on and on and on giving illustrations of how incremental and how these small steps can be. Changes your course forever. It changes your life forever. When those small steps are being taken, it is instruction and instructors that correct the course. A teacher can come alongside of you and say, hey, I've noticed some things. I've noticed that we don't see you as often. I've noticed that you don't pay attention as much. I've noticed that you seem to be sort of out in the wild blue yonder while teachers are teaching and preachers are preaching. And they can try to correct that. And they must do that while you're young, because when you get a little bit of freedom, all of a sudden you have the opportunity to throw it all away. And a lot of young people are. And that brings me to my third and last point. There's the course. He is in the way of life. There's the choice. He keeps instruction. But then there's the last part. Look at verse 17. But this is the other side of the coin. He that refuseth reproof erreth. These are some of the saddest words I've read in Proverbs. I call this person the castaway. Refusing instruction brings failure. It brings non-achievement. It brings crash. The course of life is full of regret for those who refuse instruction. Remember what Proverbs 29 verse 1 says. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen to me. I have seen more young people destroyed. I've had my fair share, more than my fair share, of seeing young people destroyed because they refuse instruction. They're reproved. They're corrected. They have a parent. They have a pastor. They have a teacher. They have all these people that are trying to direct them in the right way, but their mind is made up. They're just not going to do it. And so that often reproof, instead of melting the wax, it hardens the clay. Instead of changing their mind, it begins to galvanize them, and they become more and more hardened towards the things of God. And then suddenly, there's this the word at the end of verse number 17, erreth. The word erreth there, it just means they blow out. They disappear. They're nondescript. So there's a line drawn. And that line, the question is it clearly marked or not? That boundary. When we start our basketball season shortly, you're going to be on basketball courts that have boundaries on them. And if you go outside of that boundary, they're going to blow the whistle, and that referee is kind of like an instructor, right? He's going to stop the whole game and point something out. What? You're out of bounds. That seems for some people a minor violation. It's not as bad as a foul, but it stops the game and gives the ball to the other team. And so here's what he is saying in this passage. He uses the term erreth, E-R-R-E-T-H. He uses that term. It's his way of saying that if you don't keep instruction in your heart, you're going to get out of bounds. And the ball goes to the other team. You lose that opportunity to score. You lose that opportunity to capitalize on and show your skills. Here's the thing. Are the boundaries clearly marked? Are they clearly marked so you know what to stay away from? Are they clearly marked? The answer is yes and no. Yes, they are clearly marked to your instructors, your parents, your pastor, your teachers, your youth leaders. Yes, they know exactly where the boundaries are. Do you know where they are? If you've been wandering, W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, if you've been wandering close, you might have lost sight of where the boundary actually is. You might have lost sight of it. And that's where the danger comes into the picture. If you don't know where you're stepping, you're almost positive to stumble. It's almost positive you're going to err. You're going to fall. I could stand here for the rest of the day, and I'm not exaggerating. I could stand here for the rest of the day telling you stories of students in this school and camps and different places that today are completely away from God altogether. They're shipwrecked. You know why? Because when we were pointing out the boundaries, they ignored us. When we were pointing out the way and the path of life, they trivialized it. They joked about it. They dismissed it. My final admonition is simple. Two things. Be teachable. Be truthful. Be teachable. What do I mean by that? Receive it. Put yourself in the hands of the Lord and His Word and learn. He's put people in your life that have been down the road and they know how to bring you back to the right path. Be teachable. Sit at the feet of those people. Submit to the authority of those people. Let them instruct you. Let them pour themselves into you. There are teachers in our school that are passionate about what they do. And they don't just want to collect a check during the pay period. There's teachers in our school that could be making far more money in other professions or in other schools, but they're here. Why? They're only here because they love you. They want to change the course of your life. Give them that opportunity. There are preachers. Look, there's dozens of other things that I could be doing. I've got training in a lot of different fields. There's dozens of other things that I could be doing. But this is my calling. And the only reason I keep doing it is not because I just love people, because I love Jesus. He's called me to do this. But secondarily, I love seeing the influence of God's Word make its way into a young person's life and change their direction. So be teachable. Last thing, be truthful. If you're contemplating moving away from the will of God, if you're struggling with that, if something out in the world has caught your eye and you're tempted to quit or you're tempted to defect or walk away, don't be silent about that. Most of the shipwrecked young people that I have seen, it was so shocking to us. They never said a word about the direction they were headed. And so be truthful, but be teachable, but be truthful. Open up. Talk to some friends. Talk to a pastor. Tell somebody, look, I need an accountability partner because I know how weak my flesh is. I need a prayer partner because I know how I tend to backslide. And those partners alongside of you, keeping you accountable and keeping you strong, can help you cross the finish line. They can do it. There's a boy who went to our youth camp. As a young man, he became a real friend of mine. His name was Isaiah. And Isaiah met a girl. I'll tell you a story really, really fast. Isaiah met a girl. About 17 years old, he got a part-time job. He met a girl at work. They started just with some flirtatious behavior and just a little chit-chat here and there, you know, stuff like that. She opened up to him and told him, said, look, you know, I'm attracted to you. I think you're a good-looking guy, but I don't have any use for church and the Bible and all those things. I'm just telling you, if that's you, then forget it. And the power of that temptation began to overtake Isaiah. So he went in one night to his mom and his dad, and he said to them, he said, I'm leaving today, leaving home. And they were completely powerless to stop him. He moved in with her, not married. They had a kid together. And life started spiraling out of control. Downward it went, further and further. He's out of church. All of his old friends are now gone. Now he has these new friends who are materialistic and sinful in their thinking. And he just started hitting the bottom. And his pastor called me one day and he said, you know, Brother Brad, he said, do you remember every year at youth camp how he was competing in the Bible competition? Every year how he won trophies and he did so well and everybody loved Isaiah. And I said, give me his number. I want to call him. So one day I called him on the phone. I said, Isaiah, this is Brother Brad. I said, do you remember me? He said, how could I ever forget you? He said, the greatest days of my life were when I was a teenager going to camp. I said, man, tell me what happened, man. What happened? And he said, it started with this girl. And I said, Isaiah, are you all together now? And he said, no. Not what you get that picture. He sold everything for that relationship that he doesn't even have anymore. You see, that's the shipwreck. That's where the dangerous grounds really are, is you give up everything that your instructors and your spiritual influencers have the input that they've put into your life, and you give it away. If you do that, if you err, there's death. And it's not just talking about your heart stopping and your pulse stopping. It's talking about you wishing you were dead. And that's the sad state I've seen a lot of teenagers fall into, a lot of young people. Now, do this. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. I could stand here for hours and hours and tell stories of young people who became shipwrecked because they rejected instruction. But I'm not here to talk about them today. I'm here to ask you, are you willing to make a commitment to the instruction of God's Word, and whatever vessel God delivers that in, whatever package God delivers that in, it may be your parents, your pastor, a teacher, a combination of those things, a youth director, whatever package God is sending that instruction to you in, receive it. Receive it. Will you stand up with me together? We're going to give an invitation. And if you need to come to this altar and make that commitment, I want you to do it quickly.